everyone today. Welcome to Northfield Baptist. As we worship the Lord together, let us turn in our hymn book 114, the first Noel, the angel did say. Number 114. Let's all stand together if you're physically able to as we worship the Lord this morning. 114. The first Noel, the angel did say, was his birth and Lord's heaven, angels that they lay in fields and eggs, they keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
And the fifth verse. Then
wonderful singing. We worship just like the wise men, full reverently upon our knee. That we come to the Lord with humble hearts this morning. Let us bow together in prayer. We worship Him. We ask Pastor Logan to lead us in prayer. Pray also for Tommy Demetrio. He's in the hospital with seizures. He hit his head this past week. Pray for Carl and his wife as well. And let us pray at this time. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn back to our hymn book 102, one that's not sung that much, but a good Christmas carol. It has a Jewish theme to it in the minor key, and the beautiful song of Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, come.
Until now.
that fourth verse. How many have never sung this one before? Wow, quite a few. Okay. So, beautiful words. Very beautiful words on the song. What are you thankful for this morning about the Christ and His titles, that He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the rod of Jesse. He is the dayspring. He is the key of David. What are you thankful about Jesus this morning? If you'd like to share a testimony. Leilani? Very good. Amen. Glad to be saved? Amen. She's going on 3 or 4 months now being saved. And Leilani is giving fruits of her confession of faith in Christ Jesus. Anyone else? Yes, Carol.
Well, his name indicates that he's all we need. He is everything that could ever come our way. He's the answer.
Amen. He is the beginning and ending of our search. Anyone else? What are you thankful for about Jesus? James. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Who else? What are you thankful to God for? Yes. Myra.
Even when we give up on ourselves, He doesn't give up on us.
Amen. 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 Luna. Thankful for God?
For my mommy and dad.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Leilani. He made light. That's good. He is the light. Amen. Darnell. Amen. That's good. Wonderful. Great testimonies. Yes, that's right.
I'm thankful to keep His promises and we can trust in
Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He keeps His promises. Even though at times we break our own, He always keeps His. Anyone else? What are you thankful for about Jesus? Eric? Okay, amen. Amen. All right, let us sing that fourth verse, 102 in the blue hymn book, if anyone needs it. 102, O come, Emmanuel. We're finishing out the song, praising Jesus for all He is to us. Oh, come now, be our Christmas carol to be reminded of Christ and His wonder to us. At this time, we'll direct your attention to your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the row right in front of you. We're going to look for our scripture reading this morning, and while Pastor is up here, I'm going to have Pastor Logan read for us. We have a Bible right up here for you, Pastor. We're going to read this morning as we think on the Christmas story. We're going to read Matthew chapter 2 about the wise men. So let us turn there. Matthew 2, where we are. And verses 1 through 14.
All right, thank you, Pastor. May we stand, please? I'm going to read responsibly. I'll read the first, you read the second, and so on. The second chapter, Matthew 1 to 14, I believe it is. The Gospel of Matthew. Second chapter, verses 1 to 14. You'll see some Bibles being turned. Curtis Hudson used to say, I love to hear the Bible he's turning, but if you take too long, I get suspicious.
I don't know what he meant by that, but.
All right, we all have it? All right. Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 to 14, okay? Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, he demanded of them where Christ should be born.
And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets.
And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. Out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared.
He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.
When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And then when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
And being warned of God in a dream, they departed into their own country another way.
And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee unto Egypt, and be there till I bring thee word. For Herod would seek the young child to destroy him. Altogether,
when he arose, he took the young child and mother by night,
and departed unto Egypt. You may be seated. I was teaching the young class this morning, and maybe some of the things that I said to them may find way into your heart. Amen?
Amen.
We were talking about the Christmas story for the last few Sundays. And I said, today, we're just going to talk about rules for Bible study. And unfortunately, the only one we had in the class at that time was Paul. And I told Paul a little story, and you might want to hear it. Well, you're going to hear it anyway. So I said to Paul, I said, this Methodist preacher was called to a church way out in the countryside, and the only person was there was one person showed up. So the preacher came out of the pulpit, and he went down and talked to the one person that showed up, and he said, What should I do? And he said, Well, preacher, he says, I'm a farmer. I'm not a preacher. He said, I raise cattle. He says, but if I have one cow, those of you that don't know about farming, the cow's out in the field, and they usually come up at a certain time to eat. He said, if only one cow comes up, I'll feed that cow. And so he got back in the pulpit, and man, he really gave it to him. I mean, he took his coat off, preached for an hour and a half. And so when he finished, he went back down to the one person that was there, and he said, What do you think? And he said, Well, Pastor, like I told you, I'm not a preacher. I'm just a farmer. I raise cows. But if only one cow come up, I don't dump the whole load on that one cow. So Paul, and he was the only one in there at the time. So I said, Paul, forgive me for dumping the whole load on you. Well, then the rest of the young people showed up. This is what we talked about. We talked about rules for Bible study. Anytime we study the Bible, we ought to have rules. Amen? One of the rules that we had, we talked about circumstantial evidence and real evidence. Okay? I get a lot of this from my daughter, who is an attorney, my granddaughter. So I asked them what was real evidence and what was circumstantial evidence. And I gave them an example. I said, suppose Paul's garage was broken into. It was snow on the ground. The footprint led to Joe's house. Hope nobody's named Joe. And so I say, Paul, so he didn't see the person. He saw the footprints. His garage had been broken into. An item had been stolen. Paul went to follow footsteps to this garage, to this other guy, to Joe's house. The footprint matched the shoe that he was wearing, matched the print in the snow. And I say, what type of evidence is it? Circumstantial evidence. Circumstantial evidence can be used in court, right? Not convincing evidence. What is real evidence? Paul said, I woke up 2 o'clock in the morning, I looked out my window, and I saw Joe breaking into my garage. I saw him take my radio and go back to his house. That's real evidence, right? Okay, how does it apply to the Bible? There is what we call circumstantial evidence in the Bible. Secular history, we call it. Secular history means it could be true. Doesn't necessarily be true. One of the rules of Bible study is first divide secular history from real history, what's in the Bible. We use the word, what was that word we used, Paul? Dogmatic. Dogmatic is a big theological term. Pastor knows about it. We taught in seminary. Dogmatic means I can show you in the Bible that this is true. We need to separate dogmatic evidence from circumstantial evidence or secular history. Okay? That's important in Bible study. Let me give you a couple of examples. We often say that Jesus was a carpenter, right? What type of evidence is that? Secular history. We don't know that. Jesus was father was a carpenter. We can reasonably assume that maybe Jesus was a carpenter because his father was a carpenter. But every father's son does not follow in his footsteps. Paul may not be a preacher. Right? Pastor Rice's father was a preacher. He followed his footsteps. Well, we can reasonably assume that maybe Paul will be a preacher. We don't know that. That's called circumstantial or secular history. Secular history says Josephus, who was lived about 30 AD, said, but it's secular history. We can't prove that. So when you're studying the Bible, one of the things you need to do is divide secular history from real history. In a court of law, you can use circumstantial evidence, but it's not as good as real evidence. Did you really see the person do this? Did you see them do that? Or is it circumstantial? Okay? So when we study the Bible, bear in mind that a lot of what you hear, even from preachers, may be secular history. It's good, but they ought to always say, now, this is secular history, and separate that from the real thing. What's that commercial? You got the real thing, baby? What's that commercial about? Pepsi, right? So when we got this, what we have the real thing. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Logan. He's going to be, Lord willing, preaching for us next Sunday night on Vision Sunday, January 5th. As I'll lay out a vision that I believe the Lord has for us in the new year as a church, and then he'll come along and clarify and help with that on Sunday night, January 5th, next Sunday night. So come on out for that special time. There's a verse in the Bible, he jogged my memory. it says in Matthew 13:55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? But then in Mark 6:3, it says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? So one of Jesus' titles in the Bible is not this the carpenter? So I always thought he was the justice son, but then Mark's gospel, they say that he's the carpenter as well. So he did definitely take up his father's trade. But like he said, Josephus has a lot of good things to share and a lot of helpful things to add in, and kind of, sure enough, the rulers, Herod, Archelaus, and and Caesar Augustus and his son, and Josephus, sure enough, he says, yeah, they were the rulers at this time, and because he was living around the first century, right after Christ died, that's when Josephus was a historian, and so he helped with a lot of things, and so there's a lot of history, sure enough, that just points to everything that the Bible says was exactly true. And it couldn't have deviated, it couldn't have happened any other way, because that's who was in power at the time, just like all the gospel writers say. So it's a blessing to know that everything in the Bible is trustworthy, and that we can trust it with 100% authority of the Word of God. This time we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. If anyone need a bulletin, we'll be happy to get one to you. It's good to have some visitors with us today. We're glad for you visiting with us today, and we want to direct your attention to the bulletin. It says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Our ushers will be happy to get one to you. Just raise your hand and they'll get one, a bulletin to you. Thank you, Darnell. Appreciate that. All right. And Brother Danny, he's got the headphones on. He probably can't hear. But good to have each one of you here as we worship the Lord this morning. On the left-hand page, pray for Carl, who went in the hospital this week, as well as his wife. So pray for them. Pray for Tommy Demetrio. Tommy is the tall young man that walks around the church. Eunice's son, he went in the hospital this week with he has seizures. He fell, hit his head, and he's never had seizures before, but now he has them. So let us pray for Tommy, especially as pray for Eunice and the girls and her sister as well. Then pray for Patty. She did have chemo treatment this week, but she reacted to the treatment. She has intestinal problems, so pray for Patty as well this week. All right, and brother, and on the right-hand page, let us look at our announcements. This coming Tuesday night, we have our New Year's Eve food and family service this Tuesday night, and we are going to start at 6 p.m. with a Christian movie about a young man who, an adult man who is born into a Muslim family over in an Arabian country, and he hears the gospel, and then miraculous events take place. True story. So I encourage you to come and see how the other half of the world lives in countries where, in the 1040 window, where there's high persecution, high oppression for being a Christian. We're so thankful for the freedom we have here in the United States. So come on out, 6 p.m. this Tuesday night. There will be no Wednesday night service, just Tuesday night. And if you can, bring a food item with you to share. And and then right below that, we are any gifts to Jesus this year, you can put them in the Christmas envelope at the back. And we have some ideas for using that gift this year. And it's a blessing to have Brother Danny. I was trying to get Danny's attention. Brother Danny's friends with us this morning. Welcome. Good to have you with us. Would you mind introducing yourself for us? Go ahead.
Justino.
Okay. Kathy. And what's that?
Angel.
All right. Nice to meet you, Justino, Kathy, and Angel. Good to have you with us this morning. And so we're glad that you're here visiting with us. Good to have Catherine and Lauren and Grayson here with us. Good to have Julian here with us this morning. And we're so thankful that we can worship the Lord together. Pray for some of our people. They're sick or they're out. Pray for Jerry and Mimi. They'll be here tonight. Pray for others who are out sick today. So we're missing quite a few, but we're thankful for each one of you that are here. And we have a visitor's card, if you don't mind filling that out as a record of your visit here with us and putting that in the offering plate. That'd be a blessing. All right. And just by way of other announcements, so this Tuesday night, come on out for our New Year's Eve service. Then on the back page, we're so thankful for Brother Hodge, Deacon Hodge, and the Rice family and Dominique family for all the work in the clothing room. They did a great job sorting and getting those clothes in a good order. So encourage you to check the clothing rods. The baby items are going out to moms in need. So if you know a mom in need who's having a baby, let us know so we can help meet those needs. see Dominique or my wife for that. Then our youth, 7th through 12th graders, are invited to go to the winter retreat this coming January 17th through the 19th. This is for all teens in grades 7 through 12. And go and make Christian friends, have fun activities, and hear good preaching. The cost is $70 for that whole weekend, Friday through Sunday. So I'd encourage you to check out, take a flyer on the back table that has more information about the teen winter weekend. At this time, we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. We're so thankful for all that God has given to us, and let us give back to the Lord as we worship Him this morning. Let us pray. Amen. Let us go back to our blue hymn book. We sing a song. No. Precious Lord, take my hand. Let's see. It might be in the chorus book. Is that song in the chorus book?
Let's find out.
We have a beautiful hymn story that I'd like to read. The chorus book, is that
what we're looking
at? Okay, great. If you can look in the rows in front of you for one of these chorus books, we have a beautiful hymn story by an African-American man who wrote this hymn. And it's just, I read it in the Sword of the Lord. Yes, it's number 80 in the chorus book. Just a beautiful story behind it. Sad, but true story. In the red book, okay. Is the red hymn book? Is it in there? Precious Lord, take my hand. Okay, good. And his name is Mr. Tom Dorsey, who wrote this song, an African-American Christian who loved the Lord, and I was moved as I read this story. It says, back in 1932, I was 32 years old and a fairly new husband. My wife, Nettie, and I were living in a little apartment on Chicago's South Side. One hot August afternoon, I had to go to St. Louis, where I was to be the featured soloist at a large revival meeting. I didn't want to go. Nettie was in the last month of pregnancy with our first child, but a lot of people were expecting me in St. Louis. I kissed Nettie goodbye, clattered downstairs to our Model A, and in a fresh Lake Michigan breeze, chugged out of Chicago on Route 66. However, outside the city, I discovered that in my anxiety at leaving, I had forgotten my music case. I wheeled around and headed back. I found Nettie sleeping peacefully. I hesitated by her bed. Something was strongly telling me to stay. But eager to get on my way and not wanting to disturb Nettie, I shrugged off the feeling and quietly slipped out of the room with my music. That next night, in the steaming St. Louis heat, the crowd called on me to sing again and again. When I finally sat down, a messenger boy ran up with a Western Union telegram. I ripped open the envelope. Pasted on the yellow sheet were the words, "Your wife just died." People were happily singing around me, but I could hardly keep from crying out. I rushed to a phone and called home. All I could hear on the other end was, "Nettie is dead, Nettie is dead." When I got back home, I learned that Nettie had given birth to a boy. I swung between grief and joy. Yet that night, the baby died. I buried Nettie and our little boy together in the same casket. Then I fell apart. For days I closeted myself. I felt that God had done me an injustice, and I didn't want to serve him anymore or write gospel songs. I just wanted to go back to that jazz world I once knew so well. I was lost in grief. Everyone was kind to me, especially a friend, Professor Fry, who seemed to know what I needed. On the following Saturday evening, he took me up to a college, a neighborhood music school. It was quiet. The late evening sun crept through the curtained windows. I sat down at the piano and my hands began to browse over the keys. Something happened to me then. I felt at peace. I felt as though I could reach out and touch the Lord. I found myself playing a melody. Once into my head, the notes just seemed to fall into place. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. The Lord gave me those words and that melody. He also healed my spirit. I learned that when we are in our deepest grief, when we feel farthest from God, this is when he is closest and when we are most open to his restoring power. Mr. Dorsey went on to serve the Lord the rest of his life. Many think this song was written by another person, but it was not. This Thomas A. Dorsey was an African-American Christian musician from Chicago who loved the Lord, served him with his life, and gave us this beautiful song. What number is it in the red? 438. 438 in the red hymn book. Let us sing this song together. So if you're in a dark place in your life this morning, cry out to God. He is right near you, and he wants to bring you close to him this morning. Let's sing it together.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
We'll have our special music. I'm going to ask the Rice family to come up at this time. Before we dismiss our young people for junior church. Thank you.
babe so dear. Sing we Noel, that King is born, Noel, Noel. Sing we Noel, that King is born, Noel, Noel. Sing we Noel, Christmas, Noel, King.
Wonderful spirituals written many years ago, over 100 years ago, as they sang their Christmas, as the Christians sang their Christmas carols to join in on the Savior's praise. This time we'll dismiss those 6th grade and younger to go for their special time in junior church, toddler church, and nursery. The rest of us, let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. As we worship the Lord, we close out 2019. How many are shocked that 2019 is already ending? Okay? It went so fast. Seems like every year gets a little bit faster. And I'm approaching my 40th year myself. And it just seems like, wait, where are they going? When I was little, they were so long in coming. Now, I'm adult, they're so short in coming. And so we have so much to be thankful for as we close out 2019. And a good place to do that is in church. The best place to do that is in church. To worship the Lord each Sunday, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, we read of our passage this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing of being together this morning. We thank You for giving us these wonderful psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to sing and praise Your holy name. We thank You for our Christian forebears who have gone before us and gone through the trials and the tribulations of the Christian life, but have come out with a song, and with a song that can help us to praise You, Lord. We know that perhaps many, if not most, of the hymns were written in deep trial and tribulation. We know that You give a song in the night. Lord, we thank You so much for the answers to prayer that You give. We pray if there's anyone here that's struggling, that's hurting, maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe spiritually or emotionally, You would just touch them in a mighty way through Your word this morning. We pray You'd fill me with Thy Spirit, that I may speak forth Your truth and Your truth only, Lord, and help us to desire that closer walk with You. And I pray that You just bless and guide us this now in Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Luke 2, verse 21. Luke 2 and verse 21. New Testament, so if you find Matthew, then Mark, then Luke, then John, We're in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Okay, so we see Jesus, who is born of a woman, born under the law. Yes, that's what it says in Galatians 4:4, that he was born in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law. For what purpose? Well, it says, I'll read that verse, so that way we see exactly what God was doing. What was God's plan in sending his son, Jesus? In Galatians 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So what is the purpose? Why did God send his only begotten son, Jesus, to come and be born in this sin-cursed earth? That I like what that spiritual said. As our African-American brothers and sisters were able to pen those words, "He comes from the glory. He comes from the glorious kingdom." What are they saying? Did Jesus originate when he came to earth? Some people, especially the cults, have the false view that Jesus was not in existence before he came to earth as a baby at his nativity. They believe that Jesus came into existence at that point. Is that the truth? Or is that not the truth? No. The Bible says that he was at the right hand of God in heaven. He made the world. It says that by him all things consist. Everything that is made was made by him. And without him nothing was made. Talk about Jesus in Colossians 1. So without Jesus, this world wouldn't be in existence. Why? Because God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit were all doing the creative process together. In one God in three persons. And so without Jesus, there would be no creation. And so we see here that where was Jesus before his nativity? He was up in heaven with God. He comes from the glorious kingdom. He left the glorious kingdom to come down, to grow up in a very humble condition. Notice he didn't choose, God the Father did not choose a wealthy family. God the Father didn't say, "Okay, I want you to be born in one of the palaces of the king. You know, I want you to be born in one of the rich people's houses." No. Jesus was born to a man and a woman of humble means, Mary and Joseph. You say, how do you know that? Well, we see that right here in this passage. They brought for their sacrifice, for their burnt offering, and for their sin offering. We see what they brought in verse 24. What did Mary and Joseph bring? "To offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. How much do turtle doves cost? Not much at all, okay? It said back then it was not very hard to catch birds. You know, you just lay a trap, a snare for the birds, and then, you know, then they set the trap, they set the spring, they come down for the bird seed or whatever they use, and then they could trap them, and they could catch them pretty easy. And so turtle doves were pretty easy to come by, pigeons, easy to come by. We used to have a dove, it was a pied dove. They called it a pied dove because it had a ring around its neck. It was a white, or an off-white dove with a ring around its neck, and it's just beautiful, beautiful to look at. But one thing we learned about doves when my wife and I were young, I think we had Paul at the time, right? Yeah, I think we just had Paul, and maybe Lydia was just coming into the picture at that point, but this was about 13 years ago. And so as we had that dove for a couple of years, every morning, the dove, we had it next to the window. The dove would feel that morning light come in. And all of a sudden, we'd wake up to the most beautiful sounds in the house. And the dove would be cooing to, and we found out as we came out, we saw other doves right around the house. What are they doing? And there, sure enough, they were talking back and forth to each other. They're cooing to each other. But the dove has such a soft and tender voice, and it's very soothing and peaceful. And it's a beautiful picture of purity and of perfection. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit chose, what God chose. As Jesus was baptized, he was put down into the water at his baptism upon his start of his public ministry. As he was raised back up by John the Baptist, God the Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and landed on him. And so what is that showing? Showing that the Holy Spirit is not a raven who comes and just goes to where the meat is, like the raven that Noah sent out of the boat and to find flesh. You know, the ravens are all about finding that dead meat, the rotting carcass, they're after the whatever they can get their beaks on. Well, the dove, Noah sent out the dove. And the dove was very particular, had to have a place for its gentle feet to land on. It had to have some good branches and trees, and had to be some sustenance for it. And that's why the dove came back, because it didn't have anything. And then he sent it out again, and it came back with what? A branch, an olive branch in his feet. And that's a picture of the dove, is a soft, tender bird. And so here we see that Jesus was not born to a wealthy family, but to a poor family, to show us, you know what? Money doesn't really matter in this life. Money is a tool to be used to glorify God or to be used for selfish purposes. And so we have to make a choice what we're going to do with the tool that God puts in our hands each week and each month. That is called money. And we should not love it. Okay, so here we see, coming back to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. First, they brought Jesus to be circumcised on the eighth day after he was born. Okay, so here Mary and Joseph did the proper thing of the Mosaic law, which was circumcising their son. And they called his name Jesus at that time. That here Jesus underwent willingly the rites of the Mosaic law. Why? So that he could not destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He came not to destroy the law. He didn't come to say, "Oh, the Ten Commandments, nah, they're not important anymore." No, Jesus came to fulfill the Ten Commandments. He's the only one who could perfectly fill them. He didn't come to totally wipe away the commands of Moses, but to fulfill them, to show us that he's the only one who can keep them all. And so then another 32 days later, they came back again. So verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Okay, so here at 8 days, they brought him to present him to be circumcised. At 40 days, that's when, according to the Mosaic law, that's when a woman who has a child, that's when the days of her purification were done. And then she would bring, the husband and the wife would then bring an offering and present the child and bring an offering for their sins. And so we see, sure enough, when the doctor tells, okay, the expecting mother, okay, you're going to have to go through a healing process after you have the baby, and it's going to take about 40 days. Sure enough, guess what? Exactly the time that is necessary for that full healing process. Okay, and so God knows what he's talking about. When he gave the Old Testament Mosaic laws, of purification. God knows what he's talking about when he gave the Old Testament laws for cleansing. God knows what he's talking about when he gave the Old Testament Mosaic law for regarding diseases. He said, make sure you wash. Moses, God gave to Moses, okay, whenever someone has a disease, make sure you wash the disease with what? What kind of water? Still water or running water? Running water. That's in the Old Testament, sure enough. The same things that doctors still prescribe today. If you have a disease, you need to wash it and cleanse it, you know, and make sure if you have some kind of disease that you don't communicate it to someone else by spreading it through germs. Well, that's exactly what the Mosaic Law states. Don't touch other people's diseased things. Don't, you know, if someone has a disease, make sure they are washing everything very, very, and wait till the disease is done before you go near them. Okay? Here, sure enough, the infectious process and the cleansing process is exactly in the Mosaic Law. So God, as the one who made us, knows what is best. And sure enough, doctors who study the Bible, they find out, wait, the doctors back in the 17th century and the 18th century, they said, oh, you know, you have bad blood. That's why you're sick. You have bad blood. And so they actually cut their vein right at the elbow, and they had a process called the letting out of the blood, and that was terrible. So the person would just sit there with a bowl under their arm, and they just let out what they thought was bad blood, and they let it out. The person would just get weaker and weaker and weaker. They said, and you know, until the doctor said, okay, that's enough of the letting out of the bad blood. But the sad thing about it is that is not the truth at all. If they only would have read the Bible, it says in Leviticus that the life is in the blood.
Right.
The life is in the blood. If you let out blood, you're literally letting out their life. And so we see that the Bible is medically true, as well as Pastor Logan says, dogmatically true. It's dogmatic means it's a strong statement of sincere belief. Well, guess what? Everything in the Bible is dogmatic because it is the truth from God. So we can trust it. And you don't have to be afraid to be dogmatic about Scripture. Now, if it's my opinion, well, I think this. Well, guess what? I can't be dogmatic about my opinion. But I can be very dogmatic about Scripture because thus saith the Lord. All the Scripture is true. And sure enough, if only doctors would have found that. And then, of course, later on they found out, oh, that was, we're literally causing people to die by letting out blood. And the blood's not bad. The blood has to stay in the body because it's the disease that's bad. You got to get the disease out, not the blood. And if they only would have read their Bibles, they would have seen that. The life is in the blood. And so here we see that Mary comes and Joseph to present Jesus to the Lord at 40 days, as Mary is now healed. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They were to redeem that male child with an offering. It was 5 shekels for the male. And they were to bring that money to the Lord. But now at this time, they were also to make a sacrifice. And there was they were to bring a burnt offering sacrifice, a lamb, and then perhaps a bird. Well, here they were so poor they didn't have enough money to buy a lamb, so they brought a pair of turtle doves. One for the burnt offering. That poor dove, that innocent dove, had to be killed for the sins of Mary and Joseph. What does that tell us? Tells us that Mary and Joseph did not think they were perfect. They could teach many people today who are religious, hey, don't you know we're not perfect? We never claimed to be perfect. But our son is perfect. Jesus is perfect. They brought their sin offering. They brought their burnt offering. And they offered them a pair of turtle doves. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Okay, so here we see Jesus is seen at 40 days old. He's now, Mary and Joseph, given their sin offering and their burnt offering, and then all of a sudden this man comes in, out of the blue. This man comes into the temple by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord tells him, hey, go into the temple. Go, go, go. You ever had that strong urging from the Lord before? To give someone a tract, or tell someone about the Lord, or to go somewhere. Okay, it's time for church. Go, go, go. Go to church. Well, hopefully we hear the Holy Spirit's voice in our heart. He wants to speak to us every day. And he speaks through this as the still small voice of God. That using the scriptures that we already know, using the commands that we already know from the scriptures, the Holy Spirit then amplifies that by stirring in us. Well, here, the Holy Spirit stirred in Simeon. Simeon, go to the temple. Go to the temple. Your prayer request is going to come true today. And he just said, okay, I'm going to go to the temple. And there he saw Mary and Joseph. And the Lord let him know, this baby is Jesus. This baby is the Messiah, the very one you've been waiting for, who is going to die and redeem all Israel and all the world, all the Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And he is amazed. He went over and immediately, what does Simeon want to do? He doesn't want to just see him. The Lord said he would see him. He wants to touch him too. Isn't that neat that God not only answered his prayer that he would see him, but then he got to take little baby Jesus up in his arms. And he blessed him. And he was so thankful. I get to hold God's salvation to all the world. Wow, what a privilege. What a rare privilege this is that I get to be one of the first to welcome God's Messiah into the world. And what did he say about Jesus? He said, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many. That literally, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the stone upon which many will either be broken when they're dashed against it, or the stone by which people will set as a foundation stone of their life and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve punishment in the place called hell because I'm a sinner. But I don't want to die in my sins. I believe you sent your son Jesus, and he died on that cross. And Jesus, when he grew up, he suffered and bled and died in our place. And then he was buried, and then he rose again for our sins. And so we see Simeon said, hey, many people are going to be broken over Jesus. They're going to fall. And they're not just going to fall into the ground. They're going to fall straight into hell. Because they reject the fact that they're a sinner and that they've broken God's law. But God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says the wages of sin is death. Death in the place called hell. That God says we are not good people. You know, we like to think of ourselves as good people. We like to think, oh, I'm a good person, and if I just keep doing enough good works, I'll get to heaven. But God says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Yeah, that seems right. Oh, if I just do enough good works, my good works will outweigh my bad works, and I'll get to heaven. But you know what? That's the way that seems right to us, and it's wrong. It's very wrong, and one day, if you believe that alone for your salvation, that you're a good person, and you reject Christ, you're going to fall into a devil's hell for all eternity. And you're going to burn for all eternity. That's the sad truth of the Bible, that you have to humble yourself and say, no, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not good at all. I'm a filthy, dirty, rotten sinner. And I deserve your judgment. But I don't want to go there. Like the publican. He would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, who went home justified that day? The Pharisee, which raised his hands and prayed this ornate prayer, or the tax collector who realized he was wrong and repented and believed on the Lord. And that's what we need in our life. We need to have a day in our life. You need to have a day in your life where you humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. A day where you're born again. Jesus described being born again as a physical birthday. But just like you have a physical birthday, a day when you came out of your mother, we all came out of our mother, some day in our life, and that it was a specific day, a specific time, and a specific date. They recorded it. You know, all our children, all six of our children, you know, they had the exact minute that they were born. And we didn't say, well, we think sometime in 2007, Lydia was born. She was born in 2007. You know, well, wait, that's 365 days. Which day? Well, we just think she's 2007. You know. Well, I just think I was born when I was young. When I was young, I was born. Many people refer to their salvation as such. Well, when did you come to the Lord? When I was young. Well, when you were young? When I was young, my parents were Christians, so I was a Christian. I was raised in their Christian home, so I became a Christian by being in a Christian home. But you know what? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's not true. There has to be a day in your life where you actually say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. That's the day. Jesus said, except a man be born of water, which is in your mother's womb. It's 99% water, and the amniotic fluid is 99% water. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to have a physical birthday, and then Jesus said you have to have a spiritual birthday. A day where you cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. And sure enough, that's what Simeon was talking about. He said, many are going to fall because of Jesus. They're going to be falling over themselves because they're too proud to admit they're sinners. They're too, no, I'm not that bad a person that I deserve hell. The Bible's not true. I believe more than... I'm smarter than the Bible, and I believe I'm smarter than God, and I'm just going to do my own way. And guess what? They're set for the fall. The fall into hell one day. But God said many are set through Simeon. This child is set for the rising again of many. Do you know all those who come to faith in Christ will rise again? That all of us, one day we're going to die and be buried in the ground, but guess what? Our soul will immediately, at our death, go and rise up to heaven for all eternity. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That you and I, who know Christ as Savior, that we're going to rise again. That as soon as we die, our soul, our body's going to fall down in a bed, in a hospital bed perhaps, or in out on the ground, perhaps of a heart attack, or perhaps of an accident somewhere, and our body will die. But guess what? We will rise at that very moment. Our soul will rise right up to heaven. The real us is our soul, and we'll go right to heaven if you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so Simeon said, and a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. See, Jesus is going to be talked about bad. Jesus is going to be talked about. Whether they talk about him good or bad, if they talk about him good, wow, Jesus, he says he's the Messiah and he's perfect. I've never seen him do anything wrong. You know what? He probably is the Messiah. You know what? I'm going to go listen to him teach, and many people throng to hear him teach, and they watched as the sick people were healed, and they said, you know what? He is the Messiah. Many the thoughts of their hearts were revealed that they believed. But then on the other side of the coin, they said, him? That man? He looks so plain. That man? Well, we know his mother Mary and Joseph. You know, that has to be his father, you know. No, his stepfather? No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that he's the Messiah. And you know what? They just, in their unbelief, they kept rejecting the Lord. And that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And sure enough, the ones who rejected the Messiah, their thoughts were revealed. That they spoke out against him. Crucify him! Crucify him! But then those who believed, they said, oh, what have we done? We are crucifying our Savior. And so here we see, sure enough, Simeon's prophecy comes exactly true. And then his own mother, Mary, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, as Jesus was up on that cross. Mary was still alive. Joseph, by that point, was dead already. But Mary was still alive, and she, as she looked up and watched her son, the Savior of the world, not through any merit of her own, but just that God chose her to be the handmaid of the Lord. As she watched her son die, that was the most excruciating thing she could ever take. And it was like a sword was piercing through her soul because she watched as people rejected her son. And so it was very hard for Mary. And this prophecy of Simeon came true for Mary as well, that she had to watch her son die that awful death. But then, thankfully, 3 days later, as she goes to the tomb to bring the spices with the other Marys, that thankfully she gets. And later on that day, she realizes that he is alive and he is risen from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? That here this prophecy still is coming true every single day of this year. 2019, people are either saying, yes, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize the Bible's true when it says that all the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that hell, that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I know I'm a liar. I know I've told at least one lie in my life. I know I deserve hell, but I don't want to go there. Jesus, will you please save me? You died on that cross for me. You were buried for me. You rose again for me. Please come into my heart. So here we see that prophecy still coming true every day. The people are either accepting Christ or they're saying, no, I'm a good person. I don't need your help, God. I don't need your Messiah. I'll do it myself. And they're doing it themselves in religion or in works or in being a good person and all these things which will never amount to it. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service today. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service. Perhaps you're here this morning and say, Pastor Rice, you know, this is a very thoughtful passage that you're preaching on this morning about Christ as the Messiah. And I realized after hearing your message this morning, Pastor, that I don't know for sure if I were to die today, if I'd go to heaven, if I'd go to hell. I don't know for sure. But I would like to know. I would like to know 100% sure that Jesus is my Savior by having that born again time in my life where I say, Lord, I'm a sinner, please save me. And I call on Him to save me. I'd like to have that in my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there, receive. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved, and I want to be saved today. If that's you, just slip up your hand. As we, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking around. Amen, amen. See those hands, amen. As you're sitting here this morning, you say, Pastor, I need to be saved. And what I encourage you to do is our church members, if you could get your Bibles, go right to the back of the room. Right now, at this moment, you go right to the back of the room, and I encourage you, if you have your hand raised, if you raise your hand, go right to the back of the room. As the piano is playing, every head is bowed, every eye is closed, no one's looking around. Go right to the back and say, yes, I want to be saved. I want the Lord to be my Savior. I don't want to go another day without knowing my sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. Separate out of your seat. Go right to the back of the room. We have some of our church members back there with their Bibles ready to show you how you can be saved today. If that's you. Perhaps you're here, you say, Pastor, I'm saved. I already know the Lord is my Savior. I've had a time and a day where I've said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve judgment now, but I believe Jesus died for me. I know I've had a day in my life where I've done that, where I've been born again, but I realize that Jesus is not in the first place in my life this morning, that I've been letting other things come in the place of Christ and His supremacy in my life. And I want to put Him back first again. I want to confess some sin to the Lord so that He can have first place in my heart. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. Say amen, amen. See those hands, amen. Let's have time of silent prayer. And if you need to get up and talk to someone, go to the back of the room. If you maybe want to just pray with someone, go to the back of the room. We have some of our church members available waiting. If you need to be saved or if you just need counseling, would you go and step out of your seat right now? Let us all stand together as we sing one last song, our invitation hymn from our hymn book, I Surrender. Dinner at 7:15, then followed by a closing message on Tuesday night.
you back out for that special New Year's Eve service. This time, Deacon Hodge, would you please close this prayer?
Dear God, we thank you this day, Lord, for the message we have heard. We thank you for the challenge, Lord. We ask you, Holy Spirit, Lord, to